Tuesday, October 31st, 2006, special edition, month of October, under review.
Wolski, quick passing for Svatos again, wonderful shot block, follow-up score, to the roof, one of the youngsters cashing in, point, U.S. Olympian finding Milan Hajduk, through the crease, score, Joe Sakic.
Marty Turco in the Dallas net right now, and he
welcome
has
to AvsCast episode number 23, special edition. This is the October review podcast, which will feature standings around the NHL, selected stats of all the Avs players, and how we think November will play out for the Avs. We do have some new stuff that I would love some of you listeners to participate in. First of all, we have a talk show podcast this Friday at 6 p.m., TalkShoe is a nice little system that we can use to have a podcast where anyone with a phone and an account can call in and listen, and they can speak their mind what they think will happen. You can also just stream it over the site without an account or a phone. The only disadvantage to that is you can't talk live on the podcast, but we have made some accounts that you guys can use, so just go to the AvsCast site, and there will be a link to a page where you can get the pins, which is the one thing you need, which is the one reason I would suggest you getting an account, which we will be having these probably every Friday around the same time. So you do need a phone or any VoIP application, such as Skype out, where we'll work fine. The other thing is AvsCast Live, and that's just a little page on our site that will have the score of the current game updated within 30 seconds to a minute and a half after the goal. So that's a nice new little feature that I hope some of you will use. And that's about it for new news. When we return, we will have the standings around the NHL. We will start the standing off with the number one team, Ex-Av Chris Drury and the Buffalo Sabres, who are 10-0-1. They have a league-leading 53 goals for and only 28 goals against. Next is Anaheim, who from the looks of it dropped mighty a little prematurely. They are 9-0-3 with 41 goals for and 27 against. The Atlanta Thrashers trail both of those teams by 2 points, with 8 wins, 2 losses, and 3 overtime losses. They have 47 goals for and 35 goals against. The next team is the team we beat on Sunday, the Minnesota Wild, who are 9-2-0 with 18 points. They have 34 goals against and 34 goals for. And they are number one for goals. They have the least goals allowed, which is down at 21. Following them are the Dallas Stars, who are almost identical with 9 wins. They have 2 losses, and they both have 21 goals against. But Dallas is on the has the edge with 42 goals for. Just a little note, both of these teams beat us in overtime in Game 1 and Game 2 of the season. Next are the San Jose Sharks, who, like Minnesota and Dallas, have 9 wins, but they have 4 losses. They are 4th in the NHL in terms of goals at 42, but they have allowed 29 goals. 3 points behind are the 4 teams, Vancouver, Nashville, and Toronto, and Montreal, leading the charge with 7 wins, 5 losses, and 1 overtime loss, are the Nashville Predators, with 38 goals for and 33 goals against. Next is Vancouver, who, like the Predators, are 7-5-1, but they have 33 goals for and 29 against. The Toronto Maple Leafs have a 6-4-3 record and a hefty 44 goals for, but they have allowed the second most goals in the NHL at 49. Finishing off the teams, with 15 points are the Montreal Canadiens, whose record is 6-2-3. They have 38 goals for and 35 goals against. This is where it's starting to get even closer than we've already seen. The Edmonton Oilers, who had their Cinderella story last playoffs, which ended with the loss to the Carolina Hurricanes in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs, are 7-4-0. They have 34 goals for and 28 against. The New Jersey Devils, who are sadly leading the Atlantic Division, have only 13 points, which equates to 6-4-1. They have a measly 28 goals for and 32 against. The dreaded Red Wings are thankfully only 6-4-1 with 13 points. Although they have more points than us, they do not lead their division. They have 29 goals for and 27 against. Next, we have all the occupants of the 12-point mark, and there are a lot, 6 to be exact. We start off with the Avs, even though they're technically not in the lead for this point. They are 5-4-2 with 37 goals for and a hefty 34 goals against. Pittsburgh is 6-3 with 33 goals for and 24 against. The New York Islanders come up next, and they are 5-4-2, have 31 goals for and 34 against. The Washington Capitals are also members of the 12-point club. Although they only have 4 wins, they have 4 overtime wins to make up for it. Their record is 4-3-4. They have 35 goals for and 38 goals against. The defending Stanley Cup champions hold the next spot. They are 5-2-5 with 40 goals for and 45 goals against. To finish off the 12-pointers are the Florida Panthers, who are 5-7-2. They come in second place for most losses, but somehow have managed to stay up in the middle of the point spectrum. They have 37 goals for and 47 against. We'll now start the list of teams, the list of 4 teams with 10 points in the Atlantic Division. The New York Rangers are 5-6 with 40 goals for and 43 goals against. Ottawa is also 5-6, but they have a much better goals for to goals against margin with 35 goals for and 27 against. Tampa Bay is not doing too well with a record of 5-6, 33 goals for and 31 goals against. The final team with 10 points is Rob Blake and the Los Angeles Kings, who, like the rest of the 10-point teams, are 5-6. They have 29 goals in their favor and have let 38 goals over the goal line. St. Louis is struggling with the 3-4-3 record, and they are the only team with 9 points. They have 27 goals for and 36 against. Chicago has more wins than St. Louis with 4, but they have more losses. In fact, they have double the losses, and they have no overtime losses. On to one of the more populated numbers, 7. That's right, 4 teams have only 7 points, but it gets worse. Just wait. The Philadelphia Flyers and Peter Forsberg are 3-7-1 with only 23 goals and 43 goals against. The Boston Bruins, who are 3-5-1, have only 19 goals for and 33 against. They are last place in the East. The last two are in the West, Columbus and Calgary. Columbus is 3-5-1 with only 19 goals for, and for their position, only 26 goals against is pretty good. They are in the top 10 in the league for least goals allowed, but in the bottom 3 in terms of points. A little odd, wouldn't you say? The defending Northwest champs, the Calgary Flames, are not doing too good this year, going 3-6-1. They have 25 goals for and 29 goals against. The team that is dead last in the NHL is Phoenix. They are 3-9-0 with 28 goals for. They are in last place in the league for goals, also allowing an astonishing 53. Keep in mind that all of these stats are as of November 1st at 6:05 a.m. So these are all probably outdated by now, but it's October in review, not October and the start of November. When we return, we will have the Avs stats.
Now that's something else. We played a vocal mission to play the cosmic sky. How can we make the distance you've always known behind?
We'll start off the players with the leader of the Colorado Avs, Joe Sakic, who also happens to be the captain. He has 5 goals and 7 assists for a total of 12 points, and he has only spent 2 minutes in the box. The next player is Milan Hejduk, who has 6 goals and 5 assists, and he only has 4 minutes in the box. John Michael Lyles also has 11 points from 3 goals and 6 assists. He has 4 minutes in the penalty box, just like Hejduk. Marek Savatos, who has an astounding 16 minutes in the box, makes up for it with 3 goals and 8 assists. Paul Stastny, one of the rookies, has 2 goals and a team-leading 8 assists. He has 2 penalty minutes. Tyler Arneson has 4 goals and 5 assists for a total of 9 points. Wojciech Wolski, the other main rookie, has 3 goals and 5 assists, and hasn't been in the box since his real debut in the NHL. Now, last year, the Avs did have him come up from the juniors sometimes, so he did get a few penalty minutes back then, but I'm counting none since this season. Andrew Brunette isn't doing too bad with only five goals and 3 assists and only 4 minutes in the box. Ian LaPerriere only has 1 goal, which was his 100th career goal, but he also has 5 assists. Patrice Brisebois has 1 goal and 4 assists, and has racked up 10 minutes in the box. Brett Clark has no goals, but being a defenseman, that's what to expect. Well, I guess now that's changing. You're seeing quite a few defensemen getting a lot of goals. But he does have 4 assists to make up for it, and only 6 penalty minutes. Brad Richardson has 3 goals, all of which are on the road, and 2 of which are shorthanded, and has spent 6 minutes this season in the box. Brett McLean has 1 goal and 2 assists with 8 penalty minutes. King Klee has only 1 assist and 2 penalty minutes. The last player with points is Mark Rycroft, with 1 assist and 2 penalty minutes. Carlos Skrashnis and Ossie Vananen are the only two players that have been in all 11 games and still have no points. Vananen has only 4 penalty minutes compared to Skrashnis, who has 3 times that with 12 minutes. Kurt Sauer and George Parros have played in 1 game each and neither have any points, nor do they have any penalty minutes. On to the people who make it happen, the goalies. First off, we have the primary goalie, Jose Theodore, who in his 7 games is 3-3-1, and he has 3.29 goals against average with a save percent of .885, and he has 1 2-minute penalty. Out of the 200 shots he has faced, 23 have gone past him. On to the other goalie, the backup, Peter Budaj, who has a better record and better everything, to be frank, than Jose. He is 2-1-1 with only a 2.26 goals against average with a save percentage of .924. Only 9 shots out of the 118 he has faced have gone past him. Wow, that's a lot of numbers. Even I got lost. When we return, we'll have the November preview.
Now let's practice using your subconscious mind.
First and foremost, I think that the Avs will go 10-2-2 this month. I know it sounds a little ambitious, but I've spent a lot of time looking at our records against these teams and their records this year. First off, we have the Columbus game on November 1st. I expect we win that game considering how bad they are doing and that we are 18-0-2 against them since their creation. On the 2nd, we play the struggling St. Louis Blues, who are 3-4-3. And the Avs are 38-35-12 against them. So that contributes to my prediction that we will win. On the 4th, we will play against Northwest Division runner-up Vancouver. who have a not too good record against us, the Avs going 49, 35, and 18. I would guess that A, we lose in overtime, or B, we win. Hopefully, option B will be the outcome. On the 7th, we play the Los Angeles Kings, whom the Avs are 38, 44, and 8 against. But the one time we've played this season, we blew them out to 6-1, so I am pretty confident that we will win this game. The next game, however, I don't really expect us to win. I think it's likely we lose to the Central Division leading Nashville Predators, who the Avs are 13-7-8 against. Also, I don't think the Avs will win their game on the 13th against the Oilers, whom the Avs are 45-46-10 against. On the 15th, the Avs are going to play the San Jose Sharks, who the Avs have dominated in their life, 31-14-6. So I would think we'll win that game also. Back to the Columbus Blue Jackets, who are 18-0-2 against us. I think we'll have much the same outcome as the first game's hoped outcome. So far, the prediction is 6-1-1, back to business. The next day, we play the Minnesota Wild, who are the leaders of the Northwest Division. I am a little skeptical about this guess, but I think we'll win this one. At the worst, lose in overtime. Looking at the stats, we're 21-5-7 against them, leading me to think that we will beat them again, just like when we decimated them 4-1 on October 29th. The next game, on November 20th, we play Dallas, who beat us in overtime in the first game of the season. We are 39-32-16 against them. They're doing pretty good, and I would think that we'll probably lose to them, but I'm not positive. On the 22nd, we play the 9-2 Anaheim Ducks, who we are 25-10-11 against. I think that we will probably lose this game, considering the momentum that they have right now, but this game is 3 weeks away, so they might lose a few and lose their momentum in the next few weeks, and hopefully they do. After a three-day break, we take on the Vancouver Canucks, who I feel we have a pretty good chance beating, looking at their current stats. The next two and last of November should be a breeze. First, we will play the Calgary Flames, who are at the bottom of the Northwest Division with a 6-3-1 record. The last game in November will be against the team we're currently tied with for third place in the Northwest Division, Edmonton. I think we'll probably win this game mainly because if the outcomes are right, then we'll have quite a bit of momentum from the last three wins, and hopefully that we will beat them. Now, that's how I think the month will play out. Give me your suggestions in the live podcast at 6 p.m. on this Friday, November 3rd. You can find information on our site, which has a link to the site that will be hosting it. That's about it for the November preview. When we come back, we will have the housekeeping.
We will control the lows.
First off, the temporary widget is available for download on the Avscast site or in the widget section of Apple. If you have been to the site in the past few days, you'll have probably noticed that we have a sneak peek of the Avscast widget version 1.1 out, which should be out in the next few days, probably by Friday night. Also, please check out the forums, which can be found. You can find the URL in the podcast description. Also, check out the live podcast information and Avscast Live, which you can also find a link to in the podcast description. Well, that's about it for today, and until next time, have a great time.
And now,